do it like we do it.
Hey, hey, it's the Pretty Corrupt Podcast, your inside guide to celebrity scandals and the reality of reality TV. I'm Jordan Ross Myers, the man behind Twitter's notorious Don Gundelson and Lee Radswell, along with my co-hosts Stacey Noel Connor and Nate Safer. Welcome to PCP Pop Culture. Happy awards season.
It is officially here.
Can you believe we've been nominated for the Podskers, the Golden Pods? Actually, I think there is
an even know what to say to that.
I know there is some kind of like content creator one called the Webbies that's run by Rachel Zoe's husband, mm-hmm. Roger Berman. But yeah, I don't know. I think there are like podcast awards, but
there's like the Webbies. There's the Streamies for like YouTube stuff, stuff too. I don't know. There's a lot. I never win things anymore. So I've given up. I'm a loser baby, so why don't you kill me?
our lifetime achievement award, just gonna slip that in right now, is you guys rating is when you guys rate, review, subscribe, follow, and share.
Yes.
We'll include you in our award speech.
Yes.
That would be my award speech. And I'd like to thank you all for hashtag app. But yeah, it is. I mean, we saw last week was the Golden Globes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Last week's Golden Globes, the craziness of the Golden Globes and the like disaster of joke. I heard some more. I watched some more. I feel bad because I do have a friend who was a writer on the show. But granted, if you're a writer on the show, you're not just writing jokes for the host or anything like that. You're also writing what's happening, you know, with what the presenters are saying, stuff like that. So there's a lot more to that she was writing. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, Joe just did a bad job. He only had like a few days. So I will give him that. But at the same time, like I said last week, like they chose a guy, like a stand-up comedian who's never like hosted anything besides his own stand-up special. It takes something different to like host a show where you have to interact with other people and you have to play to other people who aren't your crowd. Like that's a very different and specific set. And I don't agree with Kevin Hart on a lot of stuff, but I actually agree with him on this, that I do think that award shows do set up comedians for failure. I do think it's very hard for them to win at that, because especially at the Golden Globes, where it really is just like playing into the industry, inside of the industry, and you really can't appease people that way. So yeah, I think it's really tough. But at the same time, I don't think that Joe Coy had the chops to do it, period. Because when you start yelling at the audience, that was funny. No.
Yeah, I caught on TMZ today, David Spade was asked about mm-hmm. it, and he was like, he would never do it. Yep. It's a lose. There's no upside. Mm-hmm. The stakes are really high. You're on a national platform. And even if you do well, you get a minor applause, but you stumble, the whole country hates you. Mm-hmm. It's really not, there isn't a win. That's a good point you made though, about how a stand-up versus someone who interacts, because like Jimmy Kimmel is a seasoned talk show host and exactly. He handles the Oscars, the biggest one, really smoothly, but he's used to interacting and playing the different types of people. Mm-hmm. Joe Coy went from, I guess his only experience is a Chelsea Handler panel 12 years ago on E!
I mean, yeah, honestly, his biggest claim to fame, in my opinion, is being Chelsea Handler's ex-boyfriend. There's a lot of reasons I feel like that's the way he got the gig. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, well, we can't hire Chelsea for whatever reason, or maybe she turned it down. I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs of that, but you know, she hosted a show. And, you know, Ellen DeGeneres hosted a show. Jimmy Kimmel hosted a show. Like they knew how to enter. They're all comedians. Mm-hmm. They're all stand-up comedians and people who started off in stand-up comedy who then like hosted shows and know how to run shows and know how to get an audience on their side. Not every joke's going to be a winner or anything like that, but mm-hmm. but Joe Coy just doesn't have the chops or the experience to host a show like that. So I think he should have said no. He should have said, screw you guys.
Like when you're a stand-up, the entire performance is you. Everything mm-hmm. centers around you. But when yeah. you're on a talk show or hosting a talk show, there's a lot more interaction and coordination and things you have to keep in mind. You have to balance a lot of things. And I think Joe mm-hmm. Coy treated it like a stand-up special. Mm-hmm. And he was like heckling the audience who happened to be very famous people.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't about the nominees as much.
Mm-mm. And then I saw, and this is a point that I would not have thought of, but I'm also not Asian, but it was an Asian content creator who was making this comment. So I want to preface that. It was an Asian content creator commenting on Joe Coy's performance and was saying, and I believe this content creator is a comedian as well. And she was saying that his failure pointed out, because in his stand-up act, he does a lot of imitating his own family. So so he uses a lot of like imitating a Korean accent and stuff like that. So she was saying that when you don't have those characters to fall back on and those accents to fall back on, and that's the basis of your comedy, then you're not funny. You can't host a show like that. And so that's what she was saying. It just pointed out the weakness of his comedy, that it's just basically always one level. It's always about using an accent and using that. Now, this is what this content creator said. I am not personally saying, I'm repeating what she said. And I'm also, you know, but yeah. But I thought that was an interesting point, because I was like, oh, yeah, is if you're only known for doing one thing and then you're put on a stage like that and you're not allowed to do that one thing that you're really good at, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
Unless you're amazing and nobody knew it, but that's not the case here.
It didn't work for him. And he's been, since he's done a stand-up act, his regular, and he seems bitter about it. And he does mm-hmm. seem to be making some excuses. Mm-hmm. He seems a little hurt, I think, because mm-hmm. I remember the morning before the show, before the Golden Globes, he was on KTLA, which is our local big, LA's big local news station. Mm-hmm. And they have an entertainment. And he was telling Sam Rubin, like, I was watching, you know, he's really excited. He's representing his people, the Filipino people, and the representation and all this, which is good. I get what he meant, like more entertainment opportunities and exposure representation for his people and stuff. But I didn't see anyone really rooting for him after his performance. I saw actually some some Asian content creators who said live posting, don't let him take us down. Like they were semi joking, semi playing with the public. Like, please, aww. No, he does not represent us all. Don't close doors on me because of him.
Oh so, my gosh. Yeah they're like, wasn't, please.
Wasn't the greatest success. No, yeah. He doesn't. They were distancing themselves from him as he was performing.
Well, and especially when it was such a big night for Asian performers, too, because Beef won big at the Golden Globes. So, and that's been overshadowed, like, because everybody's talking about how poor Joe Coy's performance was. Nobody's talking about how Ali Wong won a Golden Globe, how Beef won, mm-hmm. because I didn't watch Beef, or at least I haven't watched it yet. Her co-star won as well, and I don't know his name. I think his name Ben something. Please don't come at me. But it was a big night for, and like, and now everybody can, all they can do is talk about. See, I'm one of them. I'm just as bad.
It's probably better as an award show host to play it a little safe. Don't try to make it all about you, shock value and stuff. Because like they've been saying, Kevin Hart and David Spade, there's only a downside to that. You won't be rewarded even if it's great, mm-hmm. but you will be destroyed if it goes badly. Yeah. So I think playing it kind of like, look, thinking about Oscars hosts, who's it been? Billy Crystal, Steve Martin, one of them?
I think he did.
I know Billy Crystal, Jimmy Kimmel, like the classics. And they're, you know, play it a little safe. In the end, mm-hmm. You either play it safe or you get destroyed. They don't reward heroes at award shows.
No, exactly. Exactly. And then we have the Emmys happening tomorrow because we're recording this Sunday and Monday. It seems a little wrong that they're having the Emmys on MLK Junior Day. Like,
oh, didn't they used to be in September?
Well, because the writer's strike.
It was like the Emmys were. Oh, okay. That's why.
Yeah.
Because I was like, the Emmys and the Oscars were at two different times a year. I always knew it was like late summer.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we'll have another Emmys Awards in the fall this year again. So we'll have two in 1 year. But yeah, we didn't have them in the fall. In fact, that's why I was so like the other weekend, I got really confused because some friends were going to Emmy stuff and I was like, wait a minute, what? And then all of a sudden I realized I was like, oh yeah, that's now because of the writer's strike and Anthony Anderson is hosting that. But a bunch of my friends were at the Creative Arts Emmys for casting. And in fact, finally RuPaul's Drag Race did not win for casting and it was the Traitors won for casting and all four of the women who won are friends of mine. So that I've worked for. So yeah, or worked with. So yeah, that was exciting to watch them win. Yeah.
I have a question. If you've spoken to them since, did they happen to see a tweet from someone who was also taking credit for their Emmy win? So it was the Traitors.
I don't think so.
And it was a friend of the podcast, a friend of BCP, Brandi Glanville, tweeted, essentially it was her award in her mind. And she wrote, amazing. Congrats to everyone involved. You're welcome. And she tagged NBC, the Emmys, Traitors.
I love Brandi. Well, the thing is that, I mean, that casting team didn't cast Brandi. That was a celebrity talent team that went out and got them. So that casting team worked on getting the normal people, the regular people, you know, the people who won the money and stuff like that. So that's what they cast. But Erin Tomasello, who spoke, she did thank everybody they possibly could. So
I did like how she said, "You're welcome." But,
that's the Creative Arts Emmys, which is pretty much all the below the line stuff. And I had a friend who was like, "Why can't they just do like all of the Emmys all in the same day?" I go, "Because it would take 2 days." I was like, "Because there's so many different categories. Like even the Creative Arts Emmys, it's not a packed like house. Like people come in and come out like when they know they're about to like when it's around their time of their categories." It was like, because like, you've got like lighting direction, you've got sound editing, you've got casting, you've got this, you've got that. Like it is hundreds of categories. Like that's what you've got nominations for. So yeah, no. Like you just get one night for the fun people and that gets televised and even that still takes 3 freaking hours. So, yeah.
I wonder how they don't get the same parties, do they? At like the Creative Arts. I don't know how it works. Well, I mean, I know how the awards show works, but like, I wonder if the gift bags are the same, if they're prejudiced towards the ones who aren't like making $1 million an episode.
I don't know if the Creative Arts Emmys winners get to go to the big party afterwards of like on after the big night. Cause they have their own party. Now they have their own party. They have like the governor's awards party. So they have their own like kind of like there's a pre-party Emmy party and then there's the Creative Arts Emmys that ceremony and there's a party there too. So I think that's separate. I think there might be only a couple of like crossover people, like people who win, like Nick Offerman won best actor for his role in All of Us or The Last of Us. Oh my God, I'm losing my mind. I'm not keeping anything straight. So he, and it's the best, it's like best guest actor. And so he won. So he will, he might be at, he might be, I'm not sure. We'll just have to see. Cause some years the, those winners are at the Emmys, the televised Emmys, ceremony, handing out another award to somebody else. Sometimes they're not, I don't know. We'll see. So, so sometimes they get to go, but that's because they're actors though. So,
speaking of the stars aligning, but I'm bum-ching, look at me being all Joe Coy about this. Anything new in the astrology front?
Why, yes, Jordan, there is.
We know how well it went for Joe Coy.
Right, right. Maybe he should have, maybe he should have talked to his astrologer before deciding to say yes to the Golden Globes. Well, I need his chart. But anyway, if you're not into astrology, that's fine. Just fast forward through this, but just don't bitch and complain when shit goes wrong in your life. And I would have told you about it months beforehand. Anywho, this is a big week. A lot of people might know, even if they're not really into astrology, just because people are talking about it. But on Saturday, not only does the sun move into Aquarius, so it becomes Aquarius season. So happy, happy birthday, Aquarians. But it, Pluto also moves into Aquarius, kind of officially. Now, Pluto spends, Pluto is what they call a generational planet. It spends many, 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 many years in signs. And right now it's spending, it's about to spend one of its longest times, which is 20 years in Aquarius. And we got a tiny little taste of it back last spring. It popped in for like a month and then it popped back out. But I say it's like officially moving in now because it's going to spend most of the year in Aquarius. It'll pop back into Capricorn for just a couple of months towards the end of the year and then pop back into Aquarius where it will stay until 2044. So 20 years in the sign of Aquarius. And what does that mean? Well, just to give you an idea, when it popped, Aquarius tends to be the sign of like technology and social groups and change and things that happen fast. And also, I just lost what I was going to say, but it'll come back to me again. But on the technology front, when it popped in, when Pluto popped into Aquarius back last year, that's when everything exploded with AI. And talking about ChatGPT and like people getting a little crazy, like us all finding out how far AI had come and some people going, hey, maybe we should pull back on this because Pluto is the planet of transformation, of tearing stuff down. It's the, of the underworld. It's kind of, if you ever, if you're into tarot cards, it's like the tower card in tarot. It's like it's going to really dig deep into stuff and upset. It's going to overturn the apple cart in your life. And depending on what house it is in your chart, it also is going to upturn certain things like that. So, like for you, Jordan,
for the next 20 years,
for like, the next 20 years, which is a long time.
So, are there some people for the next 20 years they're screwed?
Could be. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'll give you an idea. So, Pluto moved into Capricorn, back in, 2008, which is like the house of like social networks, older siblings, for me, it was my 11th house. So that's social networks, older siblings. It's also a money house. It tends to be the house, they call it the house of good fortune. Or is it good spirit? And it's also a money house because usually it's the house where you make money. Yeah. The house of good spirit. It's the second house from your career house. So it's usually the house where you make money from your career. Well, Pluto moved into that for me and my careers, like, and my money started just going topsy-turvy when it came to all of that stuff. And also my social networks and groups changed a lot too, where they had been pretty stable for a long time before that. They changed a lot. And you know, some I just kind of not necessarily fell out with, but just kind of like, I kind of realized we're not in the same place. We're not going the same place in our lives. And we just kind of like fell out, that those type of things happen. But I would say money-wise and money from career, definitely just like it, I've been through the ringer. And I've also had a couple other different like movements that have done that as well. I had Uranus in my second house, which is your earned income from like work and stuff like that. But like you, but it, it, but it's not always bad though, because I think I found like different networks of people and friends and stuff like that. And also it taught me a lot about like how to like stay stable and figure out how to handle my money, how to be more resourceful when it came to career, of how many different types of jobs I needed to have, things like that. So it's moving into your first house, Jordan, because you're an Aquarius rising. And so that is like going to, it's going to change you as a person fundamentally. No. Like, look, you may give up smoking in the next 20 years.
But like, could that be because it killed me? Is
it? It could be. It could be. But no. At the same time, you might just realize like stuff might change in your life. Mm. You just realize you're like, this isn't what I want. This isn't what I need. Things like
I
that.
Would, speaking of like the money part and everything, I would mm-hmm. be, I would have a lot more money if I didn't smoke. Just going yeah. to say that.
Yeah. I mean, I started, yeah. I had a lot more cash in my pocket when I started, when I stopped smoking. It was kind of nice. I was like, oh my gosh. So, but for everybody personally, it'll hit them a little different depending on what their rising sign is, but collectively, it will, I think we'll start hearing a little bit more about AI, electric vehicles, things like that, anything on the technology bench. Now, like still top-down structures, stuff like that.
Maybe Elon Musk will go to prison. It sounds like an upheaval of everything Elon Musk is into.
Pretty much. I mean, I should get my hands on his chart. But yeah, like, anything you think, the way you think that area of your life is going, it's probably going to get turned on its head at some point. And also depending on what like planets or like points that you have, like since you're an Aquarius rising at 10 degrees, it's going to take a few years, but you're going to have Pluto hitting your ascendant. Exactly. So that's really going to, that's when I think that you would probably quit smoking, because you're really going to change like the idea of who you are, like something fundamentally about you is going to change. And around that time too, like right before that, you're going to have a Pluto square Pluto. So your natal Pluto in Sagittarius is going to square, or no, in Scorpio is going to square Pluto in Aquarius. And that again is like a bunch of upheaval in your life too. Cause I had Pluto square like Pluto when it was in Capricorn.
I only like
for me, like, it was money. For me, it was a lot about money. For you, it's going to be about your like identity. It's going to be like where you come from, things like that.
I know I'm scaring you.
Like, you don't like it.
Yeah.
But it could be good change. What if it means that you get a makeover and you get like a bigger house and you get more money and stuff like that?
Oh, well, see, you didn't. You're telling me maybe it's just I take change as a threat, but that sounds nice.
Yes, you do.
You have to put it in terms of things I understand.
I have to spoon feed it to you. Like, here comes the choo-choo. Like,
it could be that
so yeah,
you...
change is inevitable. Change is going to happen. But the change here, like with Pluto... But also people are like on the 20th, stuff isn't just necessarily going to go kaboom and like everything changes for everybody at every time. Like, it's all independent, but like, and usually people are different 20 years apart, but at the same time, some people don't change. Some people never change, but I think a lot of people are going to change fundamentally, especially if Aquarius is your rising sign. I think Aquarius rising people are really going to change a lot.
So I'm going to process this as I will no longer be flying anymore. But that's because I'm going to have a yacht. So I like this idea of...
Okay. There we go. There we go.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think people... I don't know if I did a very good job of explaining it. I mean, there's just so much, and I'm just trying to explain something in about trying to do it in less than 10 minutes. But, but this is a generational change. People are like, Pluto was just in Capricorn for like 16, 17 years. It was in Sagittarius for about like 14, 15 years. It was in Scorpio for like 10 to 12. It's not always. It's not evenly spaced. I'm a Pluto and Libra generation that was only there, I think, for about like 10 years, maybe. But it's because of Pluto's elliptical orbit. So it'll stay in once it moves to Pisces, it'll be there for like, I think, 25 years. And I think that's the longest amount of time it's in a sign. So it'll be there. It will not hit my ascendant because my ascendant's at the end of Pisces. I will be dead by then. Which is okay by me because I'll probably watch it hit your ascendant and I'll go, I don't want that.
Well, I was just thinking, can I change this? Okay, if it's like hitting my rising, like I'm picturing like a settings, like an account settings. I'm like, can I go through and like click over, like turn off, turn on, like different. I can't. I was just like,
no,
a little like, panicky. This is my thing.
Like, nothing. There's always free will. There's always free will. It's how you handle it. It's going to come. The change is going to come, but it's how you handle it. And that's how you grow through it. So that's the thing. Like, I think because you're an Aquarius rising and you're a Leo, you're fucking fixed as fuck. Like, you're a fixed sign. So you don't like change very much. And that's
so
freaking evident. Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's why we have to spoon feed you stuff. But yeah, so fixed signs, it's going to be fixed signs. The change is going to be very tough, but the rewards are really great on the end. Like who you could be in 20 years could be who you've always dreamt you were going to be, if that makes sense. Like, as long as you can take these changes in stride and understand that this is like the foundation and the building blocks for the prime of your life.
That sounds better. All I heard was upheaval and I was like, nope. Not listening.
Nope. Sticking my fingers in my ears. Nope.
You're like technology. Well, I'm like, fine, I'm going back to MySpace. No.
We'll just take you back to Friendster.
Yeah.
Well, I've decided to do some change though too. I was like, let's take this all. I'm not taking aging in stride anymore. I went out to dinner with a friend who's in town, and afterwards she was like, let's take a picture. And I was like, okay. And then she had a stand in the worst lighting ever. And
she
took this picture. I know I'm questioning my friendship with her. And if she hears this, she's on notice. Actually, she's already on notice because she posted said picture on Instagram.
See, and I made her take it down. That is such a... Okay, good, good. I'm glad you stood your ground on that. That is something like Vicky Gunvalson does or Ramona Singer does to other friends and housewives. They post very bad
I made her take it down and
friends.
I gave her... I face-apped myself. I just need it because the lighting was so bad. I looked old. Like, I looked old. I'm not even... Like, I share almost everything with you and Nate. I would not share this picture with you guys. Like, that's how bad it was. Like, I was like, no, I'm not sharing it with you. Like, I just lightly face-apped. I just had to, like, take out some of, like, my wrinkles on my forehead and around my eyes. But that made me go... All of a sudden, I go, I have to get Botox. I was like, the time has come. I've made it 46 years. I said I wouldn't get it, but I'm sorry. I have an Elizabethan-sized forehead. Like, it's huge. And I have expressive eyes, and I want to try to make sure I don't lose too much of that while losing these wrinkles, but I need to lose these wrinkles. Like, I wear sunscreen every day. I do everything that I need to do, but I think it's time. And so I texted my friend who is a plastic surgeon, Dr. Jennifer Cagle here in Los Angeles. She's an amazing plastic surgeon. And I was like, I've seen this horrible picture of myself and I've decided I finally need Botox. So I'm coming in this week.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to go get it. And I'm going to get it this week. And next week, we'll see how surprised I looked.
They have some. I mean, I've always been tempted because I like that stuff. You know, I don't take Ozempic, but I dream of it just because that's what the cool people mm-hmm. do. So I want to do it. And they do it. I know, obviously, you're not a guy. I don't need to explain that. But I do remember looking at one treatment called Botox, which is just regular Botox, but mm-hmm. in like minimal, subtle, because you were talking about not wanting to change too much of your expression. It was basically like minimal amounts, like very, it wasn't to look like a housewife or, you know, it was just to like, cause I'm always like people mm-hmm. do it. The idea is to underdo it a little. So people don't know that you've had it.
Yeah. Exactly. It's exactly what it
is. Like, have that luck.
Fillers scare me. I don't really want fillers, but
yeah, I wouldn't have that luck because like, I want everyone to look at me and know how much I spent and how cool I am. So I would look frozen, like I'd end up like Mama Elsa. And I'd be so proud of it too. So like, from like so that frozen, distorted, I'd probably start getting lip injections. No. I've never had any of that, but no, I am a little jealous. I want to follow along on your journey. You can be the guinea pig.
Maybe I'll social media it for you. It's like, I'm getting my first Botox. We'll see how this is. Because I can like make my eyebrows dance. So, and I like that, but that will probably go partially away.
Yeah.
But, well, if I have a smooth forehead. Then okay.
It's the price of beauty.
I didn't think I'd ever reach this point. I was like, no, I'm going to grow old gracefully. And now I'm kind of like, just a certain amount of grace, but maybe a certain amount of Botox too. Fillers scare me. So I'm not really into fillers. I was like, let's just save up for the lower facelift.
I will say I do know people who are like, who've had a lot of plastic surgery and they get all that stuff. And like some of them are pretty famous faces and they always warn against fillers. They're like, Botox is cool. Mm-hmm. Be careful with it. But they were like, they said like, I've tried fillers. I let them go. Like, I never hear people very happy in the long run about their fillers, but they're like, Botox is great, you know?
Yeah.
I think once you start doing fillers, that's where people start looking at you. Like,
well, yeah. I mean, think of Kylie Jenner. Like, everybody's like, what happened to you? And also, like, she's so young. Fillers are there to replace lost facial volume from growing old, because we just lose face volume as we grow old, or like from severe weight loss, stuff like that. Like, I was talking with a girl today and I was like, we're talking about how I was like, I like being thinner in my body, but my face, even though I don't like how chubby it kind of gets, I do like when it's a little fuller because I don't have these like laugh lines as much. You know what I mean? Like, it fills out my face. Like when I'm a little heavier, which is better in that sense. But mm-hmm. you get too thin and you're like, that's why I won't have that buckle fat removal, even though I like, it's just too much. It's too extreme.
Yeah. That doesn't look good. And fillers really, I think that's the slippery slope. I think a lot of people mistake when they criticize people, like, look at how much Botox they have. I think what they're criticizing often is the fillers. Because those together give you that bad housewife's face, that Jenner face where your people are staring at mm-hmm. you in the store, the airport. Like, yikes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I don't know. I always think about it. I did sign up for it once and I never went. It was something like first time, like $200 or $300 worth free. I ended up not going, But they still, this was like 2 years ago.
I don't do Groupon plastic surgery. I'm like, no.
Okay. I'll probably get jealous of you and then need to do it. You know how it will work? I'll be like, fine. If
that's
she
great.
Has it.
But I'll send you to my doctor. I'll send you to my friend and she won't, she'll probably give you a discount. Well, I shouldn't speak for her. She'll help you out. But she won't be, do you know what I mean? Like, this is the thing. Don't get bargain basement Groupon plastic surgery because you'll get what you pay for. Even with like, you know, injectables and stuff like that. You don't need to pay out of your ass though, because sometimes you're just overpaying for like nothing. It's like, no, like you want to pay the like middle class or upper middle class price. That's what you want to pay. That's what you want to pay in that. So yeah.
We'll see. You know what could really help us on our plastic surgery journey? It won't cost you guys anything, but to share the love. Make us feel pretty. And the way you can do that is if you rate, review, subscribe, and share Pretty Corrupt Podcast. You can hit us up on Instagram and TikTok at Pretty Corrupt Podcast, on Twitter at Pretty Corrupt One. And of course, on those, you can find links to all our individual accounts, Stacey, Nate's, and mine. And when we say share, we mean anyone, your esthetician, your plastic surgeon, I don't even know, your mistress, the person.
Malpractice attorney.
Yeah, malpractice attorney, the person sitting next to you at the Emmys, or the person bringing you your drink at the after party. Doesn't matter. Get the word out. And speaking of which, if you haven't listened, remember we have two episodes. And so there is also out today the Bravo Breakdown. Make sure to check that one out. And we will see you next week. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it.